Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. I just arrived like 3 hours ago, and I am already overwhelmed by what is going on here. So many machines, so many cool stuff. Actually, this is my first time at the event. And at the moment, I'm a bit nervous because so many people today, and my first time here as well. So you can see that I'm not a native speaker, and when I'm nervous, I tend to speak a little bit unclearly. So if you do not understand me, please give me a signal, like raise your hand, something like that. Thank you. And my presentation today is about building our own personalized open textile production line. Okay, so let's start. First of all, let me introduce a little bit about myself. Okay, so my name's again pronounced in Vietnamese, Hồng Phúc. I'm from Vietnam, and I come from the Mekong Delta, which is quite a poor region in south of Vietnam. And in my region, you know, maybe some of you are wearing the clothes that produce from my region. So we have a lot of clothes factory that exported clothes to Europe and the US. And on the screen, you can see here, this is a sewing pattern for what I'm wearing right now. So I'm gonna show you. So this is what I'm wearing right now is a Vietnamese traditional dress. So it is very popular back to the 60s and 70s, but nowadays you can hardly see it in Vietnam anymore unless you come to an event like this. Then you can see the áo dài. Okay, so this is the example of a sewing pattern. Like before, you sew like the rest of it. You need to come. You need to have the pattern. And okay, so let's continue. So the region where I come from, we could produce a lot of clothes, and we can see a lot of problems are going on in the garment industry. And today, I would like to mention to discuss about the issue and how we can solve them. And our goal of the project is to make a revolution for the textile and garment industry. There are a lot of examples to show that the system is broken. And so let's see, how can we fix it? Okay, so get ready. This is not in Vietnam. This is a picture that's taken in Dubai about 3 months ago. So Dubai, as we know, this is a really glamorous city, the tallest building in the world, the best hotel in the world, and the biggest mall in the world. And they have probably the most oil in the world. Maybe it's not the right words. So you know, the city are abundant energy. You know, on the street, there are a lot of bus stop, and when you go inside the bus stop, they install air conditioning in all the bus stop. And inside the bus stop, they even advertising message saying that here in Dubai, it always 23 degrees Celsius. So that's how they use energy. And this is in the middle of the city of Dubai. And this is a small tailor shop. Most of the guys come from Bangladesh or Pakistan. And you can see they have no window in their working area, no aircon, only one fan installed in the ceiling. And in Dubai, during the summer, the temperature can get above 40 degrees. And this is the condition that these tailors are working on at the moment. Okay, so next one. This one is the picture that I take from my cell phone. I've been living in Dubai for a few months. And this one is the picture that's taken from the internet because it's very difficult to get access into the factory in China or Vietnam. So this is just a sample picture of a factory in China. But nowadays, you know, a lot of clothing manufacturers are moving to Vietnam because we have cheaper labor costs and we just are very low to China. So we're receiving a lot of foreign investment in the garment industry. And so what it is, I believe you guys still remember the deadliest accident in the garment industry? Just happened 1 year ago. in a sub-district of Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh. There were about 1,129 people died and more than 2,500 injured after this accident. So you can see that, you know, the people really don't care about the condition of the building, for they do not care about the laborers. And that's how the building collapsed. So the next thing, this picture is taken at a factory very close to my house in the city of Kanto. And in fact, one of my cousins, she used to work there. She has to work 6 days 6 days a week and about 13 hours per day, and only earn $115 per month, which is only around $4.40 per day for 13 hours. So what this example tell us, it means that the labor inside the textile industry is really unfair for them, because this is a really 1.7 trillion industry, but the people who work in this industry majority don't make a lot of money. Okay, so next thing is, the next problems or challenges that we are facing right now in the textile and garments are just digital. What do I mean by that? So, you know, now it's winter, but every season you see a lot of color, a lot of collection and style in the mall, in the shopping area, a lot of clothes out there. The fashion are growing very fast, but what hasn't changed much is the way how they produce the clothes. So a lot of factory and businesses are still using machinery that's stuck in the 80s. Why is it like that? Because it's cheaper for them to pay labor than to upgrade the machine. Okay, so the next one. And one of the biggest issue that come from the industry is the pollution. So you can see that 17 to 20% of industrial water pollution come from the textile dyeing and treatment. And it releases 72 toxic chemicals originate solely from dyeing, in which 30% cannot be removed. And this is really bad for our environment. You see the water river is red, but if you have visited Ho Chi Minh City, you can see that a lot of area, the river actually black, not red like this. Okay, so, and the next issue that I want to mention here is clothing are not produced locally anymore, especially here in Europe and the US, because most of clothing production are moving to developing countries like ours or Bangladesh, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, and you don't see a lot of factories in Europe anymore. So it also means that now, like the people get less and less access to clothes production, and they maybe in the future nobody will know how to make clothes anymore, because you never make them. You just go to the shop and buy them. Okay, so next one. And another issue comes from the consumer. So I don't know if you ever faced the issue that you go to the shopping mall spending several hours but couldn't find the clothes that fit you. This is what happened to me all the time. So I've been traveling a lot during the last year. I've been living in Dubai, I was in Singapore, and I was in the US before. So my biggest issue, I can never find clothes that fit me. So, I used to go to shopping mall with a friend of mine from Australia. She's really beautiful, standard model, so you can find all the clothes that fit her. And after spending several hours together, couldn't find the clothes for me, so she would make a joke like that, okay, so if there is a person that's smaller than me in the world, probably a 12-year-old child. But this is not true, because in Vietnam, my size is really normal, medium. There's also smaller people compared to me. So then you can understand that how struggling they are to find clothes that fit them if they ever travel to Europe or the US. And also, another problem that we can see very well is we organize events in Asia every year. We have a lot of friends and speakers come from Europe and the US. And if it happened that they forgot to carry their clothes, they couldn't manage to find the clothes that fit them inside Asia. It's very difficult for them. And what is it? So this is the... So the sizes are not standard, even though they said, so we make standard sizes for the industry. We have small, medium, large. But the fact is, look at Germany, France, Italy. The size are not the same, even though for the same piece of shirt or jeans. And this is only one example. And you could imagine how many products that you have out there. It's just like impossible to get something that fits you, like so difficult to understand. And now in China, what is this? Okay, so let me go back a little bit. And okay, so the next one, another issue, the broken customer relationship. No room in the current large industry model for make-to-measure clothing in tools and design. So in the past, we used to go to the shop, get our measurement done, and then tailor make our rest. But nowadays, we don't have the chance to interact with tailors or designer anymore. And that's it, like come back to the issue that's why you can never find something that fits you. The next problem is the broken production system. What does that mean? Tools are expensive, are not interoperable, and proprietary format. What does that mean? So that means that a lot of software in the industry are closed and very expensive. That's why very few people or designers got access to these tools. And the next thing is designer to manufacturers based on the tools. So now designer, if they want to the manufacturer to produce their clothes or their design, they need to use the same tool because there isn't anything else that available. Everything closed. And for them, for some small designer, they are very active. They have nice idea, but they cannot afford the same tool. That's the issue. And the next one is must order in large batch size, which is like very big quantity. So the fashion industry is all about big quality. So if you just want to produce a few shirt or a few skirt, it's very difficult for you to find a producer that can do this kind of job for you. The last point is designer want a quick revision. If you are a designer, normally you have a piece of work and then you want to produce it to see if you can change it or something, but it's very difficult to be done. You have to spend a lot of time find a producer and then have to travel back and forth and convince them to bring out one piece for you so you can see first and then continue to produce. So it takes a lot of time and effort. The next problem is happen in the distribution system. So the distribution system for the industry is just for huge production runs. For instance, I just want to emphasize again, fashion industry is just for big quantity. And these small and medium designers cannot get access to the industry channels. Also, no space for smaller designers in corporate store like H&M or Zara. You can just not design something and say, okay, I will sell it at Zara or H&M. And they don't do that. Okay, so according to the few example that I showed you just now, it just is this something so funny? I don't know. Is there something wrong? So it's just like everything is broken, like in every level of the industry is broken. And for designer, for production, for customer, ourselves, and also the distribution general, everything seems broken and doesn't work. So how to fix it? This is a picture of our friend in the Open Tech community in Berlin. I believe that she also here today. So Yvonne is a designer and also consumer herself. So she wants to have a fair and environmental friendly solution. She wants to produce locally. She wants to have open source software, and she wants to be able to express herself in a creative way. So how to get it right for Yvonne and the rest of us? That's the question here. And we have a few ideas of how to solve these problems. We come up with something. We are looking into the new interfaces for garment and textile production in the free and open source software and hardware, in open data formats, and in open garment marketplaces. Okay, so what's next for the second half of so I have come to the first half of the presentation. So for the second half of the presentation, I will introduce to you what are already happening out there. So on the screen, it was a simple business of a vehicle. So vehicle is the term for Vietnamese who live overseas. So this family migrated to the U.S. in the 90s, and so they create a business, like they create a website that allow people from the U.S. to provide, to input their measurement, and then the data will be sent to the local to the family back home. So because in Vietnam we produce cheap, but in the US you cannot afford to make something customized in the US. But then the family in Vietnam, we based on the measurement, and they can also select the suit that they want to produce. They produce something from Vietnam, and then they will ship over to the family in the US, and then this family will then deliver this custom made piece of suit to the American American people. So this is just one model of business, but what is good about this model is the website allows you to provide your measurement, and this is what we want to do. So but they create this only for their own business, but our idea is we want to have a solution that we that allow people to input their measurement in a way that we can share, and we can store it, can digitalize the measurement. That's why we come up with a project called 3D body measurement. And I will show you a prototype of this project. Give me a minute. Okay, so I already create something beforehand because I don't want to waste everyone's time. So let's see, what can we do here? So we click on the measurement list, and let's see. Okay, give me some more. Okay, so this is the 3D's very simple project. And then let's see, what can we do here? Let's change this one to 70. See how people change it? Yeah. So, yeah. Man with breast. Yeah. You like it, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So this is just one idea. So the project is still very new, and we want to do like a lot more. We want to do like, we can change the sizes. We want to put put all the measure. This is not okay. So when you see in the first list, let's go back to the list. This is not all the measurement you have on your body. There are a lot more. So we are still working on it. And so later on, we want to do more things with it. Not just this, we want to have a 3D body measurement on the smartphone, where you can just use your phone to get your measurement and send it to a database that can be shared with everyone. Yeah, you can also have a female body. Yeah, you see the difference? Okay, so let's go back to. Bye. Okay, so the code available on GitHub if you want to check it out and install on your computer to test it. So after we got the measurement, what we're gonna do with it? Okay, so we come up with this is at the start of the project, we already have a very international team. We have people from Germany. German people always participate in anything. And wow, this is a compliment. I wish I could be German. So, and also we have people from India, from Sri Lanka, who joined us for this project. And I hope today, thank you. So I hope today we can get more people to join our project. Okay. So, by the way, Force Asia is an organization that I've been involved for the last 5 years. Initially, it started in Vietnam to support the development of free and open source software, and try to adapt open technology for social change with a focus on Asian user. Okay. So after you have the measurement, what do you want to do next? We need to store it somehow. That's why some of our members in the community have an idea of develop a human definition format. It's just a file where you can store your measurement, and you can check out here. I'm not an expert, but so let's start. A few people are laughing, but maybe you know more than me. Yeah. Okay. So next one. Okay, so we have measurement. We have a way to store the measurement. What do we want to do next? So for the next thing, I would like to talk about the open source pattern making. Pattern. So what a pattern is the one that I showed you in the beginning of the slide. It's a template. A template, so in which you can from which all the parts of your garment can be traced on a fabric before they cut and assemble them together. And so one of the software, the open source software that created by our friend called Susan Spencer from the US about a few years ago. So what Susan does is old American, okay, shouldn't say old, is an American lady. She's really lovely, really. Okay, so she retired, and so she tried to think of she liked to sew. She mentioned in her story that she started to sew when she was 4 years old, but she didn't have time to do it throughout her life. But now she retired, and she wanted to go back to sewing to do something with it. And she realized that over 50 years, nothing had changed much. Like she still do the same thing like she did in the old time. So. She come up with the idea of a software that can create digital pattern. So what she did was she tried to create pattern based on a mathematical formula, coded in Python, and then executed in Inkscape extension, and tried to export in SVG, and then from SVG create a PDF that can send to the printer that bring out the pattern to bring out the sewing pattern. And so I met Susan 3 years ago at LGM Libographics meeting. And during the past 3 years, I met her almost every year, and always listened to her, like how she did the project and everything. And she also showed me how to create pattern based on mathematical formula. So that's why I tried something with processing, and it turned out that you can also generate some kind of pattern in processing. So it means that there's a lot of alternatives. There's also other solutions with other free software that can help you to create sewing pattern. And this is another project. So because of this work, we got other people to contact us to tell us about their project. And this is another software that's called Project Valentina, developed on QT5 from Broman, a guy from the Ukraine. And yeah, so that is about pattern, making pattern, sewing pattern. And the next thing that I want to introduce to you is embroidery. Do you know embroidery? Yes? No. Embroidery. Yes. This embroidery. Could you please stand up? Okay, so you see on her jacket, so this is the process of making a pattern on your fabric by stitching, by thread, and this is embroidery. So how in the old time, how do we do embroidery? A lot of people sitting down and do it by hand. They spend all day and night to do this kind of work, but recently they also have the machine to do embroidery. But the machine is very expensive. Not everyone can afford this kind of machine. George and Zotanen, they start a project called Embroider Model, which is a software that creates your own embroidery design in the CAD program, and then generate embroidery files for home and commercial machine. And they started a Kickstarter campaign this year, but unfortunately they weren't successful. I don't know, not much interest for embroidery, I guess. So what else? Yes. By the way, I just, as we talk about embroidery in the, I don't know how to call that big hall where a lot of machines are, there is a person called Alexandra Brooke. He came with an embroidery machine. So if you want to see how it looks like, he has right there a very big machine, very close to the stage. And it creates a strange sound. You can hear from far away. So you can just come there and he can show you how the embroidery machine works. So the next things. The next thing that I want to mention here is knitting. Knitting, I believe we know knitting because what we wear right now for winter, most of the clothes that we wear are knitting. So knitting, actually there is a big interest come from hackers for knitting machine. Why is it like that? I think because for knitting, you can create a piece of shirt or a piece of garment from the beginning to an end. So there are not a lot of process that need to go through. You don't need to go to an overlocking shop. You don't need to you don't need to do pattern cuts. You can produce everything at once. So that's why there are big interest come from the hackers and developer side for this. And on the screen, there is an example of a shop in London that allow customers to look at knitting and to choose their own pattern and print it out their shop, print it out their clothes inside the shop at the time that they come to that store in London. This is just reference. And the next project is OpenKnit, which is, you know this one? So, started from Gija Rubio from Barcelona. And this is a very interesting project. So in a moment, I will show you a video on this. And together with his team, they also develop a software called Knitted, which allow you to make your own design and communicate with that own construction knitting machine. So let's see the video.
Feet are
So you like it, huh? So yes, so Etienne was saying making in the neighborhood. This is our goal. This is what we want to do. We want to produce locally right here in your hometown. And so the next project is also about, what is this here? Sorry. Can you hear me coming? Sorry about that. Ah, okay, so what is this? So this is a picture that taken in the MeshCon in Berlin just a few months ago. And oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, I forgot her name. I remember, but she came to the event, and so what is about her? So she is a woman that owns 15 knitting machine at home. She loved to knit, and she came to MeshCon. She met a lot of hackers and learned about how they hacked the knitting machine. And she really excited, and she want you, like hackers, developer, to help her to upgrade her knitting machine. And this is what we want to do next, to hack more knitting machine. And another project also about knitting. All yarns are beautiful. And this project is come from Germany, München. And fortunately, we have the two founder of this project here today, Tristan and Ernst from Munich. And so there will be supporters today. They will come on stage and give a live demo for us. So please join us on stage.
Hi, so my name is Ernst. I'm from the Chaos Computer Club Munich, and I just will show you short our IR project. What we have here is an old knitting machine from Brother from the 70s. These machines are produced till the 90s, so they are not produced anymore. And what we actually did, we replaced the whole electronics with an Arduino, so you can control it with a standard PC or whatever, and wrote a small tool in Python to use it. And what you now can do is you can knit any graphic you want, and I will show you quickly. So we here we have the yarn and whatever, and I already started with the knitting, so it's a bit easier. And all you have to do now is to move it from the left to the right. And it does nothing. Wait a second. Okay, it won't work. So just imagine how it would work. And you can maybe hear the sound, the lovely sound of the machine. Yeah. So if it would work, then you can see a nicely picture of the Congress logo, but it doesn't work, sorry.
Okay, so thank you so much. It's so typical, right? It will be strange if it works now. So, but that's why that is why we are here. We need to fix the problem. We need to do more stuff. Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much, Anne. And so let's continue. I'm almost done. So these all these problems, all these example of what's already there in the market. So what are the next step? We need more machine to hack and liberate. We need fashion tech maker spaces. We need software developers and designers. We need to start a local production everywhere and control environmental standards. And we need makers to start their own businesses and open fashion store. Okay, so, and one of the last slide, the reason why I'm here today, I'm looking for help. So I hope that some of you, you know, it's always the problem. So people say that the designer in the fashion industry, they don't talk to the hackers. There are always lack of communication between technology and fashion. So that is our idea. We want to create a network of people who work together to hack more machine to build a new knitting machine from 3D printers, or to join our Open X Lab network of makers. By the way, this picture is called an Audi knitting machine, and majority part of it are made from plastic. And so, if you have any ideas how to help us to create a personalized open textile production line, then give your ideas. This is a few places that our community members will be there to talk with you, to discuss with you more. So we will be at the Fostum in Brussels, January 31st to February 1, Room of Internet of Things. And we have one big event coming up in Singapore from March 13 to 15, Force Asia. And we will present at the Open Hardware Jack and also at the Open Tech Summit in Berlin, May 15, also Open Hardware Jack. And on the next MeshCon conference, Fashion Tech Week in Berlin, October 6 to 12. Hope to you can join us then. And that's it. By the way, I forgot to say thank you so much for your attention, and thank you for not raising your hand. You know.
Thanks for that awesome talk. We had a lot of fun. We have plenty of time left because of your precise talk. So we can have some questions if you're interested. If you'd like to ask a question, just stand behind the microphones and wait for my signal. And until that, is there any questions from the internet, from the people that are not currently right here? Aplika.
Yes, there are. So I have the first question regarding the knitting machine. People were really impressed by the video you showed. I'm here, right behind.
Yes.
And they ask, like, how long does it take to make one piece of clothing with such a knitting machine, like you showed in the video?
About 3 hours. It depends. Also, it depends on what type of clothes that you want to make. You want to make a sweater. You want to make a shirt with outlets. Let's see who can answer this question. Anne? How about your machine? What do you think? How long does it take?
With our machine, you have to do a little bit more handwork. It's not full automatic like the knitting machine, but it depends on about, for a scarf, you need about 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and for a pillow, you need about 30 minutes, and for a full sweater, about 3 hours, 4 hours.
Thank you. The gentleman in the red pullover, what's your question?
Yeah, my question about the quality of the garments. I had some things made some time ago in some foreign country, and then the shirts came out after some year. They were worn out, and the quality of the cotton was not good enough to my to what I wanted. So how would you think of managing the quality of the garment? I don't like the quality of clothing like H&M, which wore out in 3 months. I want to wear my clothes for many years.
Yes, exactly. That's what we all want to do. We want to keep our clothes as long as possible. But also, this is a problem that we have now in the industry. Like for me, my clothes only after what three times it will worn out. You cannot wear them anymore. So a lot of so we have a few research. We're not doing the research ourselves for the fabric, but I read on the news a lot of some people come up with making fabric from bacteria, from beer bacteria, and they have an idea of making a better fabric with some material that friendly for environment. And this is also our biggest question. We want to produce better clothes. How can we do this? I cannot answer this question because I don't have a solution myself, but maybe some of the people here will have and will tell us. Some people may be researchers and they will dive deep into it, how to create better quality fabric. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Would you please ask your question and get close to the microphone so we can all listen to you?
Hello. Yeah, working. One question. You were showing us patterns and knitting and embroidery. How do you take control of the sewing process? In the beginning, you showed one website where people are connected with local sewing people. But is that website part of your project or how do you deal with that?
So our project, so we are a network. So we did the body measurement. So we also do the patterns software. But this is also example of different projects that are going on. This is not ours. Like we are a community, a network of different people. And the website, the people maker that I show from the U.S., the business that they input the measurement. This is just a business that in example that we want to show what is it out there and what we can do with this. It's not inside our project, but we wanted to show the possibility and how we can work with this. Yeah.
Okay, so you only deal with the measurement software, but you don't go to the whole sewing?
Measurement software and pattern is also related to sewing. We also try to develop software to create patterns. And this is, I mentioned the Valentino project or Tao Metatao. They are inside our network. So we have a lot of members and each person do different things.
Okay, no, the only question was who is sewing the clothes from the patterns?
Who is sewing the clothes from the patterns? Let's say the project Tao Metatao, Susan is the designer and she also sew herself. So okay. You create a pattern and then you sew yourself. But the idea for the future is we create a network of designer, producer, and then the database will connect and everyone can attach the database. The designer can have the direct contact with producer and then we produce and then we sew the pattern for themselves, or you can sew it at home. Yeah, that's okay. The idea for the future. Yeah.
Thank you
for the question. I think we should check whether we have questions from the internet. Afrika?
Yes, we have. So the next question from the internet is whether you and your organization are also looking in open local fabric production, like with weaving. There was someone who turned a knitting machine into a computerized loom to make fabric, like a Webstuhl in German. And so is this something that you're also interested in?
Yes. It is. So we are looking for all kind of possibilities to improve the industry and to make a new faces for the fashion design. So we are interested in any solution and interested in any people that would like to work together with us. That is also why I'm here today. We look for more people to join the project, to join us, the community. Yes. Does that answer your question?
Sure. The gentleman over there in the blue pullover, would you like to ask a question now?
Okay, first thank you for your very interesting presentation. My question is that if I compare with some other industries like electronics, they moved the production out to cheap labor countries like perhaps Vietnam, I know of China. And now there is increased level of automation, they're moving this production back to countries in Europe because they don't need the labor anymore. There's so much automation. Aren't you afraid that the same thing may happen in the textile industry, that it will move out of Vietnam because you don't need the hands labor anymore, you only need programmers and technicians and no laborers anymore?
Yeah, so I believe that with technology, for instance, now, instead of working for a big factory earning very little salary, I think that there will, I can afford a machine that I can produce my own clothes and sell my own clothes to the market. So that is the goal, that the technology becomes so cheap that even the laborer can afford it, can do some stuff themselves and be able to make their own business instead of rely on big factory. And also, as our idea of, how to say, of making a connection of all the level of production. You know, some designers, they will not produce themselves. They focus on creating the design, and they still need the people to sew this kind of fabric together. And that's what we're thinking, maybe in the future we can, how to say, dismiss the middleman, the big factory, then designer can contact directly with the people inside Vietnam. And we can also have the opportunity to make our own business based on new technology.
Okay, thank you.
So are there any more questions in the room? Over there, one.
Okay, so actually I have two questions. The first one is, have you considered using 3D body scanning to obtain the body shape instead of just taking measurements? Because I guess measurements are not everything. Bodies with the same measurements can look a little different, and 3D body scanning might be more precise.
I have a problem. I don't really understand the question.
You can use like cameras from different angles to import the whole body model into the computer, and yes, then use it to check clothes on it.
Yes, that was I mentioned in the 3D body measurement. We in the future we like to use our smartphone. Yes, and if you can have it to develop an application on the smartphone, that would be cool.
All right. And the second question is, how do you cut the patterns in materials? Do you use scissors, do it manually, or do you use lasers?
Yes, so there's an industrial machine that they can cut for you, and for the tailor-make, for instance, this one. Everything is done by hand.
I see.
Everything is done by hand, but also like big companies that are H&M, they send their clothes to the factory, and then they have big machine to cut the fabrics. So answer your question.
Yes, and thank you for your talk.
Thank you for the question.
Well. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Aprika, do we have another question from the internet?
Yes, last question from the internet is regarding the big manufacturers. So you talked about standardized formats, and it would be interesting for us to know whether there is any interest from the big manufacturers also in your standardized formats, whether you had already some talks or they contacted you or something like that.
So the big companies, so earlier this year, not the people who produce clothes, but we talked to brothers, the company who produced the sewing machine, and actually they show a big interest in our idea, and they intended to join our MeshCon a few months ago, but unfortunately the engineer has some kind of engagement and he couldn't show up, but we are still in touch with brothers, and they show great interest on the project.
Thank you.
My question is, the industrial machines, sorry, I'm here. My question is, the industrial machines are more expensive because they're bigger, and the printers, individual printers, are cheaper because they're smaller. Is that the reason, or is there a technological difference between the two which makes the industrial machines more expensive to acquire by the average person?
Industrial machine, they can produce faster, they can produce more, and also they can do more stuff. That is more, it's more expensive. Is it the question?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, thank you.
Are there any more questions there in the back? Who was first, you or you? Okay, go away, ask a question.
My question is quite simple. You say you are being at quite a lot of events next year, but do you have an assembly here so we just can go over and talk to you after that?
Yes, we have a group of people here actually, and I just arrived today, and the members in my group saying that we have we will meet Andres. Where are you, Andres? Are you here? So where is it, the space that we have here? I don't know. This is my first time here. I don't know the area around, but our member, I think they have, they know where to meet. Mario. And where is it? Where are you located?
Do you need a microphone?
Okay, so the space with the other knitting and sewing machines is in Saal 3, in the right corner in the back of the room. I think if you're interested, you can check this out, and you should maybe announce where you will be staying after the talk, so if people want to ask questions directly to you without the big audience, they have a chance to meet you up after the talk.
I will be there with them, yes.
Okay, so Hong Fu will be in Saal 3 at the Munich CCC with the other knitting machines. Are there any more questions? You have a question.
Yes. Awesome. As we saw the rise of 3D printing, we saw a lot of struggle with patents. So I already saw, when I looked into that earlier, I saw that those needles are somehow patented by Brother or something. Is there a movement there to free them in a way of not having patents there, maybe with the free printing brother machine there?
So, you know, this question will be best answered by our one of the developers there. Kristen, would you like to answer that question?
At least I can try. Most parts of the machines can be built by yourself, but as you just mentioned, the needles are still parts which you have to buy, also because it's not that easy to build them. But it's no witchcraft. So if you saw such a needle, you can have a look at it. It's really simple built up. So perhaps if somebody can think of another layout, you can often avoid patent or whatever restrictions, yeah.
So it's not like in 3D printing where we basically have everything that makes sense patented, so it's basically just the needle and everything else is kind of open as well.
Yeah. Okay. In this example, the open knit machine, you saw pretty many parts were 3D printed, so it's also not that easy to assemble. So if you want to start right away, perhaps it's better to get an old machine which is complete and working and start with this, and building an open knit machine is perhaps a little bit for the more advanced users.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? No? So thank you for attending. Give a warm round of applause to Hong Fu and her
Thank you very much, and I would like to say thank you to Yang for very welcoming in the beginning, and thank you to, I don't know how you said, Andrews over there. Thank you so much. Thank you.